Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today, whether you're listening on Saturday live on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620, or you're listening anytime wherever you get your podcasts. This show is available as a podcast, if you didn't know that. Check out wherever you get your podcasts from and subscribe to us there. You can hear the show a little bit early and sometimes even an extended version of the show. But that's neither here nor there. What we do on the show, as we do every week, is bring you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. And this week and next week, at least for me, and I'm pretty sure to my guest who's coming on here in just a moment, there's only one thing that's going on. Marvel's got a movie coming out next week. Whatever. Who cares? It's PensaCon. PensaCon is taking over downtown Pensacola from February 14th through 16th with a few things happening in advance of that. We've got early pass pickup, and we've got some of our partner businesses doing some events on Wednesday and Thursday night to kind of warm things up as we get into the big, it's fair to say the nerdiest weekend in Pensacola every year. Joining me to talk about it, somebody who is also part of PensaCon along with myself. Please welcome from the Pop Culture Knowledge channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. Before we do get started, I got one little thing off the top of my head that I got to address.
Okay.
Did you know that they're trying to set legal precedent that movies reveal their actual show times because they're saying that that movie theaters are being time bandits by having long trailers before the movies?
I didn't, but that's stupid.
30 minutes, people. Your answer is 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to change it until actually reveal the showtime, because people tend to be late. So, I don't want people coming into the movie 10 minutes after it starts. Just show up sometime between showtime and 25 minutes afterwards, and you'll be good to go.
Plus, we can put it to bed now. Folks like you and me who go to the movies a lot, we may end up seeing the same trailer a lot, but I wouldn't want to lose the experience of trailers. I think trailers are important. Now, if you want to lose the 25 minutes of other commercials, I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with just only seeing Nicole Kidman when it's actually in a movie and not telling me what theater I'm at beforehand, because I already know what theater I'm at. But on the flip side of that is, I got to imagine that those advertisements are helping pay the bills to keep, people complain enough about movie ticket prices as it is. You want them to go up another $5 a ticket?
Not at all. I thought you might find that interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's dumb. You know what time starts. If you don't want to see the commercials, come in like 10 minutes later. And if you don't want to see the trailers, come in like 20 minutes later.
That's right.
It's going to be fine. Or you just plot it out as part of your day for going to see the movie. I mean, let's be honest with you. I have not had a lot of spare time lately. I have not seen a movie in the last couple weeks. And it's specific. I haven't seen The Brutalist yet because the movie's 3.5 hours long. There's a 15-minute intermission in it. Then you're going to add on 20 to 30 minutes of trailers and commercials. I don't have half a day right now because we're less than a week away from PensaCon. It is, my life right now is sleep in PensaCon, and maybe I get to eat something here and there. Like, I'm not even getting to go to the gym. That's pretty much it. I get that people have a limited amount of time, but budget it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me to hold your hand. Hold your own hand. But
we'll have to see how this plays out. I don't imagine it going much further than that. But a U.S. bill was proposed by Connecticut Senator Martin Looney that says adverts and trailers is a quote unquote abuse of people's time, which is always a classic coming from a politician.
I'm just glad that we have no other problems that we need to solve in the world right now.
We tackle the big issues.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not to say that you can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I get that. But that gum ain't getting chewed. So why don't we focus on chewing that gum, and we'll worry about walking past the movie theater later. Like, not a pressing issue in the world. Just not. Yeah, there's, and we're, you know, we don't get into politics on the show. We're not going to get into politics on the show. But look around you. Walk outside. Touch grass.
Yep.
I mean, that's all I could say.
But luckily, we do have things to distract us.
Yeah, yeah. And let's move on to those things. Because, I mean, that's the other thing. Honestly, if I wanted to sit here and talk politics right now, I wouldn't have a whole lot to say because I'm not keeping track of it. Because, again, you know, people always say, you know, I'm hip deep, I'm neck deep. Yeah, the depth for me right now is about 6 feet over my head at this point. So I am pretty much drowning in Pensacon. But, you know, for those of you who may be listening outside the Pensacola area don't know, Pensacon is our annual pop culture event, our big, you know, fandom convention. People come out to meet celebrities. They come out to enjoy being together amongst people that like the same kinds of things that they like, to shop, to dress up in cosplay, to, you know, just kind of enjoy, you know, celebrate pop culture, kind of like what we do on this show every week. You know, we celebrate pop culture on this show every week. So if you like this show, first of all, thank you. And, you know, and may the Lord have mercy on your soul. But above and beyond that, you know, Pensacon, I think, is something that you would enjoy if you ever get the chance to come. So you do have that chance to come next weekend, February 14th through 16th in downtown Pensacola. I, in addition to doing this show, am one of the few year-round employees of Pensacon. I am the director of media and guest relations. So if this comes off a little bit like a commercial this week, I mean, that is kind of part of my job. So, you know, apologies in advance. But Jeremy is a big part of the event, too. He is the host of our short film festival, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the show. And, you know, but you've been around around Pensacon more or less almost from the start, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, missed the first year. Don't know how that happened, but have been an enthusiastic supporter of it ever since. And you're right. It is definitely the nerdiest thing going on in Pensacola, but it is also one of the biggest things going on in Pensacola. It affects the economy in a very positive way. A lot of the local businesses get involved, and it's really cool to go to a place where you can just unabashedly be enthusiastic about that thing that maybe your coworkers at work think is weird or quirky or strange, and you can go and be around people that are just as excited about that stuff as you are. And I always say this, if for nothing else, go for the people watching. You get to see people that have put so much time and effort into elaborate cosplay and costumes, and it's just it's a really fun experience, I think, for people of all ages. So definitely think that it's something that people should check out if they haven't been. And if they have, then we're inevitably preaching to the choir. But that's awesome, too, because I bet they're getting excited for it as well.
Well, and speaking of, you know, the way the community gets involved in Pensacon, News Radio 92.3 itself is a fine sponsor of Pensacon, and we very much appreciate that. But yeah, we do have a number of businesses in the Pensacola area and beyond. We have some, you know, some national sponsors as well who put a lot of effort into not just backing Pensacon from the standpoint of helping us get out information or providing monetary support or, you know, that sort of thing, or donating, you know, trading like for like in, you know, in terms of product or services. But, you know, they get involved by opening up the doors of their businesses and doing things to offer entertainment to the folks that are coming in town to the convention. We've got a number of the great bars and restaurants downtown that each set up their own theme for Pensacon and put on their own themed events during the course of the weekend. And just off the top of my head, some of the ones I could mention are Perfect Plane, which is doing a big Star Wars theme all weekend long throughout all of their complex. They're also doing a big karaoke party on Saturday night with our good friend Ming Chen, who's going to be the host of that. Ming is a karaoke nut, and you're going to have a great time if you go out to that. I know we've got a Beetlejuice theme happening at the Cabaret. The legendary, the Z, is coming in this year for the first time. The Azalea Cocktail Lounge. If you're from Pensacola, you know the Z. The Z is turning into the Upside Down and going to Stranger Things this year. We've got Odd Colony turning into Middle Earth with Lord of the Rings. I'm really excited to see what O'Reilly's does this year with their SpongeBob theme. They're going to turn into Bikini Bottom.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, the Fish House transforms into Hogwarts every year with the Harry Potter theme. So lots and lots to do. We're going to talk more about it when we come back. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He stands like a statue, becomes part of the machine. Feeling all the bumpers, always playing clean. Plays by intuition, the digit counts as ball. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He's a pinball wizard, there has to be a twist. A pinball wizard's got such a supporter.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. And we are talking about PenceCon coming up in less than a week now, February 14th through 16th in downtown Pensacola. You might be asking yourself, well, what does Pinball Wizard have to do with PenceCon? Well, it has a couple of things. Pinball is part of pop culture. This is a pop culture event, so we celebrate all the things about pop culture. We actually do have one of our guests that's going to be at PenceCon this year is Scott Innes, who is a voice actor. He's done a lot of voices for a lot of pinball machines, including the Texas Chainsaw Massacre pinball machine, the Scooby-Doo. He was the voice of Scooby-Doo and Shaggy in the cartoons for a while there. So you got that aspect of it as well, but I mentioned that we have a short film festival as part of PenceCon. That's the Papa's Pizza PenceCon Short Film Festival. Jeremy is the MC of that festival throughout the weekend. And Jeremy, outside of competition in that festival, you are also a filmmaker, and you're debuting your first short film at this festival.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting. I have, as we talked about, been involved with the convention for a long time, and part of being involved with the film festival means that there's a level of gatekeeping. And I say that to say we get so many great submissions every year, but we have to whittle those down to the best so that we are showcasing things that are on theme and fit into our genre programming. There's a lot of things that are considered, but of all of the time I've dedicated in my life to kind of critiquing movies, which you and I both love to do it, I think we tend to be more positive. We don't either of us enjoy to tear things down, but I always wondered, what does it take to create a movie? And this is a small scale thing. This is a 13-minute short film documentary about pinball, as you mentioned, but undertaking this process was kind of a way for me to look at the back end of filmmaking and to kind of give myself a little bit more experience in involvement in what it takes to do it. And I do think coming out the other side of it, I've got a whole new appreciation for the work that goes into it. But when I think about PenceCon, I think the community aspect of it is something that a lot of people will connect with. And like I said about, you know, you go to work and you talk to people there, and maybe they don't share the same enthusiasm for horror movies or comic book movies or comic books. And so I've always been really fascinated by the community side of things. And when I discovered this local pinball league, first of all, I was blown away to know that there was like a thriving pinball community, because I think of it as kind of like a 70s activity. I grew up playing, you know, the 80s and 90s video games, and it kind of missed me. But then to realize that there's like a thriving community of people that have dedicated so much time and energy and money into this passion that they have, and there are tons of other people that share that same enthusiasm. So when I discovered this community, I was like, isn't that like a great microcosm of everything that pop culture fandom represents? And so that's kind of what my motivation was. I was like, I want to premiere a movie at PenceCon, again, out of competition, but just to kind of show my reverence and appreciation for filmmaking and then the community aspect of fandom. And that's kind of what the inception of the project is.
Nice, nice. Well, I've actually seen the film already. I think people are going to really enjoy it, and we'll look forward to seeing how people feel about it during the Papa's Pizza PenceCon Short Film Festival. That'll be just one of the many things that are happening at PenceCon. So outside of the film festival, Jeremy, what do you enjoy about PenceCon?
Yeah, so the vendor floor is great. You go there, you walk around, you see a lot of people checking out great merchandise, a lot of really cool crafts and projects being made. You know, there's Artist Alley, which is great. You can go and see writers and illustrators and artists of all different ilks, and all of that is really nice, to kind of just walking around. But something that I've always really liked about it is going to the panels. You may think they sound educational, and God forbid you actually learn something, but as somebody who is so enthusiastic about the process of filmmaking and just creating in general, going and sitting down at some of those panels and those workshops and just getting insight from people that have actually been involved in all different facets of the industry is something that I love about all conventions, and PenceCon has great ones. So like, that's one thing that I always try to set time aside for, is to go and actually participate and just kind of sit in and listen to people talk about their craft, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So that may be something that people don't know about PenceCon. I think, you know, they see the advertisements, they hear about it in the community, or they read articles about it, or they see stories about it on television. They know that there are celebrities that are here for PenceCon. They may know that there are artists and writers and things like that too. And they, you know, they may realize, hey, maybe I can go get an autograph for that person. Maybe I can go meet that person. Maybe I can go take a photo with that person. And yeah, you can do all of that too. But they also do these panels where you can go and sit and listen for about 45 minutes each and hear them talk about their work. Maybe ask a question, because there'll be a moderator on the panel with them that will, you know, take questions from the audience as well as asking questions of their own. And I that's part of the overall experience. So it's not just the, you know, hey, you know, come get an autograph, which is great. You can do that too.
Absolutely.
But you get a chance to know a little more about the person than you'd get even in a 5 or 10 minute conversation when you're there getting an autograph, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and a lot of these people, in addition to having like insightful stories, really funny people. They might share some stories from being on set that you've never heard before. And you, again, like you said, you can sometimes have an opportunity to put your hand up towards the end during the Q&A section. And if you've got something you've always been wondering about this person's career, or maybe what it was like to work on the set of that one movie, you get a chance to just kind of fire away, and they'll answer you to the best of their ability. And that's a kind of cool, like, interactive aspect of it that I don't think a lot of people consider.
Now, is there anybody on the list this year that you are particularly excited about?
I mean, there is a handful. This is a really good lineup this year. I know that wrestling is something that I've recently gotten more into, so I've been kind of keeping an eye on some of the people that are going to be there that were involved in wrestling. And I know you've got Britt Baker from AEW. Is that correct?
Britt was here last year. So this year we've got a couple of WWE legends. We've got Rikishi and Samu, who were together. They were the head shrinkers. Both longtime, you know, WWE. They're both WWE legends. Rikishi's in the Hall of Fame. And then Nick Nemeth, who currently wrestles in Total Nonstop Action, used to wrestle in the WWE under a different name. He'll be here as well. So for all you wrestling fans, that's always a part of the program. We've always got some wrestlers there.
And Rikishi is also kind of a local hero, so that's another like kind of double cool reason for him to be here.
Samu still lives in the area too. Samu actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he lives locally. Yeah.
So yeah,
and they're all, you know, there's so many relations in the wrestling world. You know, the Inouye family. You know, current WWE superstar Roman Reigns is part of that family too.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Uso, all of that stuff, have that real deep connection to here. So that's very cool. And then John Wesley Shipp, who played the Flash on the television series, is going to be there. And then another thing that's super cool that it just now came to me is that there's an Aliens reunion. Outside of Aliens, Michael Biehn, I think.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, Biehn. That's right.
Michael Biehn is such a good actor. He was in Aliens. He was in Terminator. He's in The Abyss. And then he also is in one of my absolute favorite Westerns from back in the day, and that's Tombstone. So definitely excited to see he's back. And
we've actually got all of the surviving Colonial Marines from Aliens are here, so that's exciting. Of course, we lost Bill Paxton a few years back, so obviously he won't be here, but the rest of them are all going to be here. So that's going to be a lot of fun for, you know, for anybody who's an Aliens fan, which I who's not? I mean, is there somebody
maybe we
can quibble about the later movies, but the first two Alien films, I think, are pretty much untouchable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey Combs, yeah. From Reanimator fame. He's also been in other H.P. Lovecraft adaptations, like From Beyond. So he should be a pretty cool character to see. And then
also, I believe, holds the record for playing the most different characters in various Star Trek series.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
He's even played
against himself as two different characters in the same episode on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun.
Yeah. He's been in Deep Space Nine. He's been in Next Generation, if I'm remembering right. He's been in Voyager. He's been in Enterprise, Lower Decks. Yeah, he's got quite the Trek resume.
Another Trek alumni, you got Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course, Commander William Riker, and originally in The Next Generation, but has been in a lot of various Trek series as well, and has also directed a lot of Trek, as well as directing a few other films and a few other TV series as well. So, yeah, it would be great to have him here. Anthony Rapp from Star Trek Discovery, too, is somebody I'm very excited about having this year. Not just for Star Trek, but he is kind of a Broadway theater legend, musical legend. You know, of course, was the original Mark in Rent, and, you know, very much known for his musical theater prowess, but, you know, also an acting career on screen that goes back to, as a kid, was in Adventures in Babysitting.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. And then, you know, one more that I'll mention, we're going to get to know a little bit better in the next segment of the show. We've got Day Young, who's going to be on the show with us today. Day, you may know, at least I personally know her best as Kate Rambeau from Rock and Roll High School, one of my favorite movies. But she, again, has also played a number of different characters in Star Trek and was in Pretty Woman. She's had quite an interesting career. So we're going to talk to her somewhere after the break. Jeremy, I will see you next weekend at Pensacon, and we will be back here with Day Young in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Well, I don't care about history. Rock, rock, rock.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We are talking about Pensacon. We're just a little less than a week away from Pensacon, coming up on February 14th through 16th, so starting on Friday, running through Sunday. And I'm very excited to have somebody on the phone that you're going to get a chance to meet at Pensacon. You know her from lots and lots of movies and TV shows over the years. Please welcome Day Young.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Day. Thank you so much for being here. We're excited to have you, and we're excited to have you come into Pensacola.
Oh, thank you. It's my first time, so I'm really excited. Well, I hear it's a real fun convention and a great place to visit, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we hope to show you a good time here. I hope that that somebody who you're going to be here with, somebody that you were in the movie that song that we just played came from, PJ Souls,
yes,
is going to be here with you.
PJ Souls, yes.
Yeah, and we had PJ here a couple years ago, so hopefully she talked nice about us.
She did. And as a matter of fact, when I got invited, we were doing, I think, the Hollywood show, and I said to her, "Oh gosh, have you ever gone to Pensacola? I just got invited." She said, "Oh yeah, I went a couple years ago. It was great." And I said, "Well, you should come back." She said, "Well, they probably don't want me so quickly." And I said, "You got to, so we can do it together." So that's how that kind of all came together. So it's really fun.
Well,
we'll be there together.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing PJ again. She was so sweet last time she was here. So, and I've got to say, too, I'm a little biased. Part of the reason that I'm excited that you're both here is because I am a huge, huge fan of Rock and Roll High School in particular.
That's fantastic.
That was your first movie. Is that correct?
Yes, it was. It was my very first movie. I had just come back from London. I didn't even have an agent or a manager. I had gone to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts, and I was kind of toying whether or not I should go to New York and do theater or whether I should go out to Los Angeles. And my sister lived in Los Angeles, and she was an actress. Her name was Lee Taylor Young. And she, so I thought, oh, my God, you know, I might as well go where family is and try my, you know, try doing the film route. And the very first thing I met on was Rock and Roll High School, and they were having the hardest time finding Kate Rambeau. So I just, it was timing, and I lucked out. And before I knew it, I had gone in. The movie was supposed to start on Monday, and I went in on Friday afternoon, and then they cast me, and I was I was on the set.
Oh, wow.
Of a Roger Corman movie, and it was a real eye-opener.
So was there something about Kate that you connected with or that, you know, you just felt right with?
Well, you know, when I mean, yes, when I think about Kate, yes, when I got to know her, but you have to understand when you go into, I mean, I never even had, they never even gave me the script to read. So I went in to meet on it and met with Alan and a few producers, and they, you know, they just had me read a few scenes and do a little kind of improvs and get to know me. And so they, there must have been something in me that they saw resembled Kate. But I would say that I've, you know, always been kind of like a great best friend, and started out playing a lot of those kind of shyer roles and like the good girl parts and stuff. And, yeah, it was just a really great experience, the whole thing. And, I don't know what else to say about it, about me relating to Kate, you know. I then went on to play Pretty Woman, which was, you know, a tougher role. So, I mean, you know, but, Kate's great.
Well, and I want to come back to Pretty Women in just a minute, because obviously I think that's probably mm-hmm. something a lot of people would recognize you from. How familiar
right.
were you with the Ramones before you got this movie?
Well, that is probably, you know, the thing that probably I relate the most with Kate is I had no idea who they were at all. I didn't even know what punk rock was. So it was a real eye-opener for me. And the expressions that I have as Kate really are me as Day, just like with the jaw open, like, you know, with these, you know, these people. When we went to the Roxy to film the concert scene, and the punk rockers, you know, hitting their heads against the pavement, and it literally they had to stop the, because they were, I mean, they were potentially getting violent. They had to, you know, stop the audience at one point because they got so wild over the Ramones. So it was a music and a group that I was not familiar with. I mean, my music was like, you know, the Beatles and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Joni Mitchell and that kind of thing. So this whole hard rock thing was not in my realm of consciousness at all. So it was perfect for Kate.
Are you surprised at the longevity that the movie has as kind of a cult classic?
I am. I really, really am. I mean, I was disappointed that it didn't do better when it first came out, because I thought, oh, this is just so adorable and so wonderful. And I thought the Alan did a great job, and the producers, and it was just a gem of a little movie. But I think it's really held up, and people just love it. And I just recently had a grandchild, like on January 25th, so I can't wait to share it with her someday. You know, it's just one of those things that I think, you know, that will always live on. I mean, I thought, oh gosh, no one, they're not going to, with all the school shootings and the bombings and all of that, I thought, oh, you know, they're going to bury this movie. But no, it seems to really have a life.
Well, and congratulations on the granddaughter. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
So you mentioned Pretty Woman. That's another movie that a lot of people might have seen you in. Remind people about your role in that movie, first of all.
I played the snobby saleswoman who kicks her out of the very posh Rodeo store when she wants to come in there and look at the clothing. And I say, we have nothing here for you. So I think that, you know, that was it. And it's like, again, one of those, that for me was probably the most surprising movie, and that did so amazingly well. But more the scene that really talk about longevity, and just that people always know, and it's one of it's a favorite that lives on with so many people. It was very, very wonderful experience. Only a couple of days, and that's one that you're right, people remember because it's such a famous movie.
Well, and it's one of those things too that I think people might forget, that Julia Roberts was pretty unknown when that movie was made. So were you surprised that it became such a big thing?
Well, Richard Gere though had kind of a following.
Sure.
But the movie originally, again, this is, you know, I did not have one of the lead roles, so you rarely get to read the script, but it was a darker script, and I had heard this, and it wasn't this kind of rom-com that it turned into being. So it was darker. It was originally called 3000. So more than, I think it was just that I did not see where it could go, although Gary Marshall is very funny and he had a great sense of humor. And I could tell from the first time I worked with Julia that she was going to be a star. She just had a sensibility, and I think she had just come off of doing, what was that pizza movie called?
Mystic Pizza.
But yeah, right, Mystic Pizza. I just had a feeling that, you know, she was going to hit, whether it was in this one or not. But a shocker that movie just, I mean, so popular, and that my scene lived on so much. You know, that was what was so amazing, shocking. It's been voted like the number one scene that people relate to in the movie, and that people remember. So it's fun.
Well, I wanted, before we take a break, we're going to have to take a break in just a moment, but I wanted to ask you about another movie where you've got a small role, but you're in a really iconic, pivotal scene, and that's Spaceballs.
Right. I played a space waitress where John Candy gets his tail caught underneath my waitress outfit, and it was really, really fun. My most memorable experiences is working with the director. What's his name? The director,
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. Sorry, I just blanked on his name. Mel Brooks, because the way they would shoot these movies, we were on stages, and he was like three stages over in like a booth watching the whole thing, and you would hear him. He was like the Wizard of Oz, and you would hear him like blaring, space waitress, move over three feet to the right. And you would like, it was literally like the Wizard of Oz, like, where is this coming from? Because he was not on set, which I had always been more used to having an intimate set. It was like he was two stages over, because they had these big stages and, you know, big scenes that were, that created the, well, this was a space, a bar of some sort that I was working in and serving food. But it was just such an amazing experience to work with him and have him just blaring across two different stages and stuff. But that was a wonderful experience. A small role that movie just ended up going on to doing so well.
Well, we've got to take a short break, but we'll be back with more with Day Young in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Thank you.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We're talking with Day Young, who's going to be one of the guests for Pensacon coming up, starting on Friday, February 14th through 16th in downtown Pensacola. And Day, I am imagining that one of the things you get asked about a lot when you come to a show like Pensacon is your association with Star Trek. You've played three different roles across three different Star Trek series. Talk a little bit about that.
I loved that, you know, those working on those different episodes and different shows. I really, really did. The very first one I did was playing Hannah Bates in Masterpiece Society, and that was on Second Generation. And it was so professionally run, and I played a scientist in that one. And the dialogue I had to learn was, they called it technobabble, because you literally have no idea what you're saying. But LeVar Burton and I had to move a planet out of the way of a comet. And you know, these things were, and the jargon that was coming out of my mouth, I just had no clue, but it was, and if it had to be word perfect. That was the other thing I remembered. If you added a the or made something plural, they stopped the whole thing. You had to start over, and it had to be letter perfect. And it was really quite a challenge from that point of view. But I really loved it. And then, but probably my best experience was working on Deep Space Nine with Rene Auberge Noir. And he was just fantastic to work with. And I was his love interest. And it just was a wonderful experience working with him, and also getting to play a spy that later on finds out that she is that she's not who she thinks she is, and to fall in love with Renee's character, Yes, Odo, right. And so I loved working on that. He was just a gentleman and just wonderful to work with. And then the third one was Enterprise, and with Scott Bakula. And that was fun. That was kind of, a spy that I was playing. But they were so well written, and the guest stars were so well with a wonderful arc in all of them. And they just was really great writing for what it was. So I really enjoyed working on those. And everything was so professionally done, from the production design to the makeup to the directors that they chose and the production. It was just really quite professional and wonderful.
Had you been a fan of Star Trek before you got cast in your first Next Generation episode?
No. So that's again another one of those things where I in the first one, they say, okay, this is the beam up scene, you know, where you're going to beam up. And I had to ask them, I said, what does that mean to be beamed up? They just all stopped. I had no idea. I had never watched any of the original ones, but I just became such a fan afterwards of, you know, just, I never really followed them to the extent, I was a new mom then. When I was doing those, I think I had a daughter at that point. So, you know, I didn't watch a lot of television. I was reading children's books and things like that, but I learned very quickly what the world of Star Trek was about. So that's my story.
Well, and of course, they love to, and obviously they brought you back three times. They love to bring actors back in other roles in other series, or sometimes even just bringing characters back. Your co-star in Rock and Roll High School, Clint Howard, of course, has been in more different Star Trek roles than almost anybody. So are you waiting for the phone to ring again and them to bring you in maybe to Strange New Worlds or something?
I would love it. I really, really would love it. But I think it's a whole different production team. I think Rick Berman was who ran it at that point. I don't know who runs it now. And I think, you know, it just kind of changes. But I would love to go back and work on that show. I think I'm really good for it. You know, they really use very trained actors and on the whole. And, you just have to be really on your toes in that. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. There was nothing casual about that set. It was very done, as I said, you know, by a formula, and you had to fall into that formula. And, but I would love it. It's also great to be able to, you look at these, I mean, sci-fi things that are coming out now with the Dune and now the Dune series. And I can't help but think that some of it must have had some influence from the Star Treks.
Well, we'll have another guest here during Pensacon who I'm guessing you probably met when you did your Next Generation episode, who still directs a whole lot of Star Trek, Jonathan Frakes. So maybe...
Does he?
Yeah, so maybe
okay,
we...
Maybe
we can put a bug in his ear.
Oh, I'd love it. Tell him, please. I'd love to meet him. I think, you know, I did go to a Star Trek convention in Vegas. It was really quite amazing when they do those conventions. But I did meet him then, but it's been years, so I would love to meet him again.
So talk a little bit about doing these conventions. What do you enjoy about it?
Well, I don't do a lot, and I'm pretty choosy about them. So when I, you know, get invited, I really check them out, and because I'm not a horror actress, and it's not really worth my time to go, and as much as I would love to have it on my resume, but I think the most horror I've done is like Serpent in the Rainbow or...
Which is a great movie. That is an unheralded classic in my book.
Yeah, I literally become upset. They do a voodoo thing on me, and I start eating glass. It's a fantastic scene, and have a convulsion on a dining room table. So I go from being this a professor's wife who has sent the Wade Davis character down to Haiti, and he comes back, and I become absolutely possessed, and then, you know, have this amazing scene on the table. But so that's that, and a movie called Spontaneous Combustion. But those are like the classic horror movies, you know, that like PJ has under her belt. So. Mm-hmm. I love it when, you know, there's other conventions that really have a lot of value for a lot of these offbeat movies I've done, which are like, you know, the Strange Behaviors and Strange Invaders and Running Man and these, you know, a lot of them are cult classics. And it's so nice when you have people who have appreciation for those as well. So I really look for those conventions that will really... also focus on that. And I just love meeting people and I sharing my experiences. It's a great opportunity to, you know, to celebrate everything that I've been able to do and share with the fans and you know, just continue the work and be inspired by them. So I do love the opportunity when it's a convention that I feel is a real good fit for myself.
You mentioned The Running Man. I have to ask, you may have heard that there is a remake going into production. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't really know. I'd love to contact them and say, I'm available, but yeah. I mean, it's not going to be with, I have no idea who's going to play the lead.
It's going to be Glenn Powell, who was in Anything But You and Twisters. And, yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. I don't know. I'd love to see it. I don't know if they're going to, if it's going to be the, just a remake totally of it, or if it's going to be, an extension of it in some way. But, have you heard it's going to be a remake? Do you know anything about it?
I know it's being directed by Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and Scott Pilgrim versus the World. It makes a lot of like really interesting genre movies.
Oh, fantastic. That was another one. I just, a small part that just kind of stuck out, and I was given some great lines. And, I got to go over a bunch of my lines before I come because, you know, people will hand me pictures and I've got to be able to come up with those lines that I had to say in some of these cult classics. But that was really a fun character to play. And Arnold's was very sweet. And gosh, I think that one movie also went through where I was cast by one director and then Paul Glaser, and then I show up on set and Paul Glaser's all of a sudden directing it. So it's like, oh, what happened to the other director? But, so that was a great experience.
Well, you'll get a chance to talk to Dae Young about all of these movies and a whole lot more. We just barely scratched the surface of her career in this interview because there's obviously a lot more to talk about. We're looking forward to having you here in Pensacola in just a few days, and I know everybody's going to be excited to see you. Dae, thank you so much for taking time for us today.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. I really look forward to meeting everyone and being there. So it'll be a real fun time. We'll have a hoot.
Well,
and gabba gabba hey.
Well, we will see everybody at PenceCon. Until next time, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.